gadael penod un, anodau un i un a ddeg. Anno Theophilus, ysgrifennais yn fy llyfr cynta am y pethau aeth Iesu ati i'w gwneud ei dysgu, cyn iddo gael ei gymryd yn ôl i fyny i'r nefoedd. Cyn mynd, dywedodd wrth yr apostolion beth oedd am iddyn nhw wneud yn nerth yr Ysbryd Lan. Am bron chwech wythnos ar ôl iddo gael ei groeshwylio, dangosodd ei hun iddyn nhw dro ar ôl tro, a phrofi y tu hwnt i bob amheuaeth ei fod yn fyw. Roedd yn siarad yn nhw am beth mae teyrnasiad Duw yn ei olygu. Un o'r troen hynny pan oedd yn cael pryd o fwyd gyda nhw, dywedodd fel hyn, peidiwch gadael Jerusalem, nes byddwch wedi derbyn y rodd mae fy nhad wedi addo. Dych chi'n cofio mod i wedi siarad am hyn o'r blaen. Roedd Iawn yn bydyddio a dŵr, ond mewn ychydig dyddiau, cewch chi bydyddio ar Ysbryd Glân. Pan oedd y disgyblion cyfarfod gyda'r Iesu, roedd nhw'n gofyn iddo o hyd arlwydd, a dyma pryd rwy ti'n mynd i ryddhau Israel a'i gwneud yng ngwlad annibynnol unwaith eto. Ateb Iesu oedd, Duw sy'n penderfynu pethau felly. Does dim rhaid i chi wybod beth ydy'r amserlen mae Duw wedi ei threfnu. Ond bydd yr Ysbryd Glân yn disgyn arno chi, ac yn rhoi nes i chi ddweud am dana i wrth bawb, yn Jerusalem, a Judea, yn Samaria, a drwy'r byd i gyd. Yna, ar ôl iddo ddweud hynny, cafodd ei godi i fyny yr awr o flaen ei llygaid. Dyma gwmwl yn dod o gwmpas a diflannodd o ei golwg. Trawdd yn syllu yr awr, yn edrych arno yn mynd, yn sydyn, dyma ddau ddyn mewn dillad gwyn yn ymddangos wrth eu hymyl nhw, a dweud, chi, Galileoed, beth ydych chi'n gwneud yma yn syllu i'r awr? Mae'r Iesu wedi cael ei gymryd i'r nefoedd oddi wrthych chi. Ond, yn union yr un fath ag y gwelwch chi yn mynd, bydd yn dod yn ôl eto. Happy New Year. I wonder if you made any New Year's resolutions. I always resolve never to make any, but then I get caught in the logic of whether I've broken that resolution by doing so. I wonder what plans you have, things you want to achieve by the end of 2021. It's always good to have a set of goals. A few years ago, I achieved something I'd always wanted to do. I managed to get a letter published in the Times newspaper. As you can expect, it was a comic piece. I'd written about being a teacher and how we'd had to stockpile our newspapers during a busy term and I hadn't had time to read them. And now the holidays had come, I was catching up on the reading. Now, the problem was, of course, we stacked them in the order they arrived and I was reading the papers in reverse order. It made for an interesting read, as political stories evolved backwards. Things that had already happened looked less and less likely to happen as I went backwards in time, or in the Times. It's a bit like that now with our new sermon series on the Book of Acts. In 2020, we went through the whole of the Book of 1 Samuel, and now we plan to travel together through the Book of Acts until Christmas this year. But it's going to be strange for a couple of reasons. Now, firstly, this is a sequel. If the Book of Acts were to be a film, it would be Luke 2, The Doctor Returns, with more stories about King Jesus. So we're starting with a sequel. So maybe a good way to prepare for this series would be to read part one of the Gospel of Luke. The second thing that's going to be odd about this is we're going to go through the book in order, so it's not going to match up with the church year. So, just in this Christmas season, we're dealing with the Ascension today. We're going to celebrate Pentecost later this month, and when the rest of the church is celebrating Easter, we'll be looking at Africa. The Book of Acts was probably written in around AD 63, although some commentators date it later to about 70. And it forms a bridge between the Gospels and the Epistles. If the Bible had gone straight from John to Romans, you'd be reading it and thinking, wait a minute, Rome. How did the gospel get there? Well, Acts tells us the history behind this and links these parts of the Bible together. But it's going to be great to study the book of Acts together. So before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will speak through the power of your word as we study the book of Acts through this year and the first two verses today. We pray that you will speak to us, fill us with your spirit, that we may learn more of you and draw closer to you. Amen. So as we journey through Acts, we're going to be looking at the three main themes that occur in Acts: power, problems, and practicalities. And this introductory passage of verses 1 to 11 features all three, as we shall see. We start with power, because before the action kicks off, before the church explodes across the world, something is needed: the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Before going off to be witnesses, before preaching, before putting in place the church structures they needed to do, before anything else, they needed the power of the Holy Spirit. What a lesson for us today to remind us that we need power. I don't know if you've been in the house when there's been a power cut and you've realised how much we depend on electricity. And the house goes dark. You can't boil a kettle, you can't watch TV, you can't even turn on your central heating because the controller is electric. We need power. Power to do things. For the last 6 years as a family, we've been driving electric cars, and we need to plan out a route when we go somewhere to work out where the charge points are. It's a lot easier now, but 6 years ago, there weren't many charge points around, and we needed to plan carefully because it was important to have the power, to have the electricity in order to travel. Without power, we can do nothing. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, as Christians, we can do nothing. I asked you earlier about your plans for this year. Do you have the power to do them? Because that's where we start. That's where the whole book of Acts starts, with this idea of the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit given to all who believe in Christ. God's own Spirit living in us. So how are you facing this new year? How do you need God to act for you powerfully and miraculously? Look at verse 8. You will receive power. And take that promise from God today. You will receive power. And we need power, especially because of our next point, problems. Because we live in an imperfect, fallen world. There are problems, disease, accidents, struggles, bereavement, difficulties. And especially we have problems with people. We fall out, struggle to get along. We get on the receiving end of other people's poor behaviour. Some people think the church is exempt, but it's not. We do strive to be a loving community of Christians together, but so often we fail. And so did the Christians in the early church. This is nothing new. And we're going to read about it aplenty in this book of Acts. Problems come. We get things wrong. We get distracted. We go off on a tangent. We lose our way. Already here in verse 6, we've only 6 verses in to the book of Acts, and the disciples get it wrong again. They gather around Jesus and ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Thinking that this power from on high would lead to political power, restore a new king to Israel, leading to a revolution, the end of the Roman occupation. They get it wrong, and they needed to be put back right again. So we're going to see lots of problems which faced the people in the early church, and we'll learn how they dealt with things, or sometimes learn from how they didn't deal with things. Power, problems, practicalities. So we're going to see in Acts the power of the Spirit at work and learn to live in that power. We'll see problems that occurred, but we're going to also learn about the practicalities of the Christian life, how to live as a Christian. And the themes that come through here are as relevant in 2021 as they were for the early church. We can learn how we can best be church together. We have the message of the angels here. This is the main message for us as we begin this new year together. Don't just stand there, get on with it. Because here at the Ascension, the disciples were all standing up, looking at the sky where Jesus had made that most dramatic exit. And then two angels come, and there's almost a hint of chastisement here. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? It's like, come on, there's work to be done. Come on, let's do it. It's time to act. In fact, that's what this sequel to Luke's Gospel is challenging us. If I could sum up where we are with book two here, it would be, don't just Luke, it's time for Acts. And we're going to look in more detail at these verses 1 to 11 after our next song. So today we're beginning our studies in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and we're going to look at the verses 1 to 11 now. It begins by reminding us that this is indeed a sequel, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And notice that it reminds us that Jesus wasn't just a preacher and a teacher. It doesn't say all that Jesus began to teach, all that Jesus taught, but it was all that he did and taught. It reminds us about the actions of Jesus, the miracles, the healings, the raising of the dead, and in his own resurrection, backed up by who he was. Luke reminds his readers that we are here to participate. We're not just reading the story, but we become the story. If you read on to the end of Acts, it sort of fizzles out. There's no real ending. It doesn't end with a climax or with a definite finish, like the Gospels. It just stops. And I think there's a deliberate reason for that. If it were a TV program, we would read the words "to be continued" on the screen. I would even say that it would read something like "to be continued in Aberystwyth" or "continued in wherever you're watching this." We are called to participate, to be part of this story of the Acts. Verse 2 reminds us that God chooses us, chooses people to help with his work. And we've got a part to play after we've been empowered by his Spirit. Verse 2, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. The Holy Spirit gives us instructions, and we are called to act. Verse 3 reminds us that Jesus is alive. After his suffering, he presented to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. In his commentary on the book of Acts, Gordon Keddy points out that if Jesus hadn't come back from the dead, we probably would never have heard of him. He would have just passed into history as just another name. But he's alive. Look at the details that Dr. Luke includes here. He wasn't some sort of ghost. It says in verse 4, he was eating with them. Jesus tells them about the outpouring of the Spirit which is to come. And then they get it wrong again. It's this idea of being king. Is Jesus going to be an earthly king? Do you remember before in the Gospels when the disciples wanted the top government jobs? They saw Jesus as being a mighty king who would overthrow the Romans, ushering a new reign for Israel. And some of them wanted the top government jobs. But then, of course, he died. And it was all confusing. Now he's resurrected. And some of them get the idea that maybe now is the time that he's going to be an earthly king. And it says in verse 6, they gathered round and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They've got it wrong. They're still thinking about an earthly kingdom. But then we move on to the great sending out, the summary of the book of Acts in verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What a great summary of the story of the book of Acts. The power of the Holy Spirit comes upon the people, and they become witnesses to the growth of the church. Because there is work to be done this year. So are you ready? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit and ready to go? Don't just Luke. It's time for Acts. Power comes. And we're called to be witnesses. See what happens in the early church. Where are they witnesses? Firstly, Jerusalem, around the temple, the church, if you like. Then Judea, the nation surrounding. Then Samaria, a place that Jews wouldn't naturally want to go to. It's scary territory, the unknown. And then where? To the ends of the earth. There's no stop here. There's no end here. We are called, wherever we are today, to be witnesses for God. And it's time to get on with it. Are you ready in 2021 to see God at work? To go where he wants you to go. And to be witnesses for him. If you like, we can see Luke saying, telling us about the teachings and actions of Jesus, the theology, the principles behind it. And then in Acts, we see it's time to get practical. Luke says it's time to grow. Acts says it's time to go. I had a great time studying theology when I went to train to be a vicar. My background is in mathematics, and it was interesting to go from mathematics to studying theology. And of course, I approached it as a mathematician would do. And I was looking at numbers and patterns, looking at formulas. I spent some time researching, and I've come up with a formula, a mathematical formula that relates the size of a church's congregation to the length of their sermon. But I didn't get far enough to decide which influences which, whether if you preach for longer, you end up with a bigger church, or whether bigger churches just naturally expect longer sermons. But there is a correlation between the two, and I did some research work on that. I studied the use of numbers and counting in the Old Testament. I researched the subitizing skills of the peoples of the ancient Near East. And I even worked out a formula for working out the page of the 1984 liturgy where you'll find the set psalm. Great, looking at maths. There are two sorts of maths, you know, pure maths and applied maths. And both sorts of mathematicians think they're studying the best branch. The pure mathematicians do all the theory. And they look at the beauty of numbers and patterns, formulas, vectors, imaginary numbers. It's lovely, satisfying, and the rules and conjectures are really interesting. And applied maths takes this work and puts it in the real world and calculates things to do with our world here. It works out how much you will pay for your pension, your insurance. We need it to calculate how strong a bridge needs to be, how a ship can move efficiently through water. Pure and applied maths. The theory and then the application. And the Gospel of Luke is like pure maths. You've got the beauty of the miracles, the appeal of the Beatitudes, the teachings of Jesus. But then Acts. This is where theology gets its hands dirty. It's applied theology. It's applied to the real world, real people, real problems, and needs to be worked out. So as we journey through the book of Acts, are you ready for this? To tackle some of the issues and problems head on. And like the early church, look to God to solve them. Are we ready to be part of this? Don't just stand there looking. We need to fill up and go. I mentioned already that the ending of Acts is non-existent, deliberately, because it's still going on today. I think Luke would have ended it with dot, 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 if punctuation had been invented in those times. Because this isn't just the story of the early church and the first apostles. This is a story that goes on and includes you and me. We're the story. We need to fill up with the Holy Spirit and go out into the world to be witnesses for Him. So let's start this year with a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit so that we're ready for all that God is calling us to do. Amen.